The church is in a time of risk. That as much as we might want to come here and have things be the way they've always been, that path is closed to us. In a generation, over the last generation, the number of people who identify with no religion at all has tripled in this country. In many mainline Protestant denominations, membership is down 20, 30, 40, or more percent in that generation. Churches are closing, merging, unable to sustain their buildings, let alone pay for ministry. The decline in participation has now reached those who thought they were immune. The evangelical megachurch, the conservative Orthodox, they're down too. Everybody is. People used to go to church because they felt they had to. That day is done and gone. Folks come now only because they want to, and only some of them do. And while many people are still interested in spirituality and religious ideas, there's very little attachment to institutions and a much more catch-as-catch-can approach to developing a spiritual life or building a community. The old ways of doing church don't work anymore. So we have to risk. And that's not all. Median household income in this country over the last decade and a half, adjusted for inflation, is down. Many of you have been living that. It's not a statistic, just a statistic. The wealthy have, the very, very wealthy have more, but everyone else has less. So church budgets are tightly stretched too. Less people are coming, and the people who are don't have as much money to give. I could go on in this vein, but I think you get the picture. Plus, it's depressing as hell. When my colleagues and I get together, we talk about this, and it's pretty tough. It's not just that it's about our livelihoods, though it is, and that matters to us and our families, but much more so, it's that the church matters to us, that we believe in its potential and its power, that we have ourselves, as so many of you have, experienced the grace and the transformation that comes through church life. And we don't know what will happen next. And that's hard to live in. And because of the way things are, there's anxiety in so many of our congregations, worry about how we'll pay the bills and who's in charge here and what it all means. We get together and we talk about this. And sometimes we get exhausted. And then most of the time someone speaks up. Someone says, here's a risk we're taking in this new age. Here's a thing we're doing. We're trying this. Have any of you tried this? It's starting to work for us. We're connecting with people and making a difference. The church can still matter, and here's how. Someone speaks up. Or maybe no one in the room is doing this, but someone heard of someone who is. Did you hear about so-and-so, what that congregation is doing? They're fighting dragons and giants, and they are never afraid. They're so brave. And we look around at each other and we say, are we brave? Could we be brave? Could we be not afraid and try things, climb the mountain and explore the cave and keep going all the way up to the top? So sometimes we do. Provoked by the examples of others, we shout, I am not afraid, even when we run for safety and retreat to a safe place for a little break at the end of the day. We're grateful to have a friend as brave as they are. And I want to believe that the next chapter of that story is that Frog and Toad catch their breath and rest up, because being brave is exhausting, but they don't stay in the closet or under the covers. They get out. And they remember that they were not afraid. And they keep exploring the unfamiliar. Because here's the truth. Here's the unvarnished, complete truth. For every bit that I am exhausted by the dilemma facing the modern church, this church right here, for every bit of that, I am doubly, triply, quadruply energized by the risks we are taking to imagine a new way of doing church. For every bit. The risks we're taking to be more connected to each other, to our siblings in faith, to make a difference in our community and in our lives. I'm totally energized by the way that our social justice leaders are making things happen. It's very exciting. I'm energized by the new levels of partnership with other local Unitarian Universalist congregations. I love the way that so many of you are engaging the themes through various small group ministries, and I heard that there were some really powerful conversations this week about what risk means to each of you. I was part of a few of those, and I saw it with my own eyes. How many of you had a powerful conversation about risk? Maybe this week, maybe some other time. Put your hands up. Yeah. It's happening. Did you feel energized by that conversation? Because I did. We are not afraid. This energizes me when we're taking risks together. Team risk, the cooperative sisters. When we do it together, when we shout, we are not afraid, and we jump into the unknown. When we try things and open our heart. When I say, come and go with me to that land, and you say, yes. Or even better, when you say, come and go with me, and I get to say yes. With our hands joined together and our hearts beat as one. This energizes. What exhausts is when I feel like I'm out there alone, on the high wire, and nobody's coming with. When I've said, come and go with me, and the reply is, nah, go ahead. We'll see how it goes. Let us know. This exhausts. It's a risk too much, too far. Let me give you an example, one that's coincidentally on my mind today. I'm energized when the leaders of this church say, it is important for our sense of hospitality and beauty and safety that we raise enough money to do this project, these chairs and carpet and concrete. And when you step up and everyone participates and gives some of your money, and I know it's tight for me too, but I'm adopting two chairs anyway. I know it is when you step up. Even if some of you aren't convinced about how important it is, you participate. That energizes. On the other hand, I get exhausted when we ask and the leaders step up, but nobody follows. When only a few reach deep and too many do not. So help me out and help out your church. Be part of the journey. And let's get energized by what we can do together. I and the staff and the leaders of the church have made pledges to the campaign. We're on our way. We need everyone else to participate too. I need the energy that you can give when you are generous. This church needs that energy, that yes, we can do it moment today. It doesn't matter to me if you adopt a quarter of a chair or two or 25 of them, but we need everyone to help out, to give us that boost of possibility and generosity. If not for yourself or for the person down the row who has to bring a cushion every week and their back still hurts at the end of the hour, or for the newcomer yet to come, do it for me, your sometimes exhausted and sometimes exhilarated minister who's asking for your help today. The reason throughout this month that I have emphasized the necessity of cooperation and covenant, of teamwork and mutuality, is because risk without support is too draining and too hard. So much is still in bud. We cannot stay exhausted, cannot give up. How can we tire of hope? We have only begun to imagine justice and mercy. So much is in bud. And we've only begun to know the power that is in us if we would join our solitudes in the communion of struggle. Great things have small beginnings. Sic parvis magna, the choir saying. And the beginning is risk. It is stepping out, and it is from this that great things can happen in our lives, in this church, in the world. But it is so much easier and so much more fun, so much less exhausting, and so much more exhilarating when we begin together, when we join our voices, when we stand and we sing and hearts beat as one. Look, I don't know what the future of the church is. I don't know what the future of this church is either. I don't know. And I'm the expert. I study and I talk to folks all the time, and I don't know. I do know that we need to be creative. We need to take chances, knowing it's not all going to work out, and that's okay. I know that isolation between congregations is going to end, or at least that isolated congregations are going to end. I know that we'll connect with our religious communities in new ways, online, during the week, and sometimes still on Sunday. I know that we'll need to figure out new ways to make the budget work. I know that we need to go deeper into our lives of spiritual substance, that the lecture club will not serve the generation that now seeks something you can't get on YouTube. I know that we will need to be the kind of church that hands out crash helmets and life preservers, where things matter, where we are connecting with something powerful and real and not putting on a show for the sake of habit. Sometimes we will reach into the unknown future, and sometimes we will reach into the almost forgotten past to recover things that worked once upon a time and might again, because as new as this era is, there are similarities between what we have faced before. I know that we need to flip the script and claim our power to humanize and detoxify our culture, that we need to stop accepting and internalizing the insults against us and start accepting our own power, our own saving message for the world, and start sharing that more and more. This is so important because the culture we live in needs to be detoxified and humanized. We need to break the grip of demonization and stand on that side of love against the practices of hate and fear and exclusion. That's our task and why it is so important that we meet the challenges of the age so that we can do that work, because if we don't, who will? And the good news, I know you were waiting for the good news. If we do that work, if we are forceful in our detoxifying, humanizing work, then we will meet the challenge of the age, and the institution, the church, will be strong because it will be for something. I don't know what the future of the church will be, but I know that we will not get there, wherever it is, without the spirit of risk-taking among us. I know that we will not take risks, not ones that matter, if we feel alone and exhausted, but that we can if we are together, if we are energized by the common work and each other's support. I know that it matters, that this congregation, that this faith can transform lives and make the world better. I know it because I've seen it, seen the way that this place has enabled some of you to become your fullest self and get through when times are hard, to make connections and friendships that last a lifetime, to break your bad habits and make new good ones, to open your heart and your mind, to organize together to win the struggles of the day for the sake of justice. We've done all of those things and do them now and will do them for generations to come if, in this moment, we can stand together, hands joined together, hearts as one. We are building a new way, because we must, because the old way is closed and the new way is unknown, but we can be brave together. And we will be stronger and clearer and more powerful, more relevant and more connected if we can breathe deep and gather our courage and leap. We pray, we hope, we work for this, not to know the answers, for they are not known. We pray, we hope, we work for this, to face the unknown together, to be willing to become anew, to be open, to have each other's back. We pray, we hope, we work through mutual inspiration to be turned from exhaustion to exhilaration, to go with boldness together into a future that does not happen to us, but that we shape and color for the sake of our love, our hope, and our faith. This is our prayer, our hope, and our work. May we rise to the moment, and may the Holy, known to each of us in its own way, be with us on the journey. I invite you to rise. We'll sing together, "We Are Building a New Way."